Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 through verse 23. For this reason I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Heavenly Father, as we begin now several weeks in this section that we have just read, help us, Lord, this morning, as we find Paul praying, so we find Paul praying for the Ephesian church. May we learn something about Paul's praying. May we sense something of how he prayed for the Ephesians, and how he would pray for us. How, Jesus, you yourself pray for us. And how we of this church ought to pray for each other. And so, Lord, instruct us in that today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your great revelation to us and your great love for us in Jesus. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, looking at Paul praying can be very interesting, because you do see in verse 15 and verse 16, and that's where we'll be focusing this morning, verse 15 and 16, you do see Paul praying. And here's what's interesting. Where does Paul's prayer stop? You know, you read, and it seems like after a while, seems like he's not praying anymore. But he didn't say amen. And if you look for the amen, you will find it when you get to the end of chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 21 has the amen. Now, is everything from 1:15 to 3:21 prayer? No. He kind of goes in and out. In and out. Paul has this incredible way of being able to talk to God and talk to you at the same time. A verbal multitasking. Paul has this amazing way of being able to write to the Ephesians and pray for them to God at the same time. It's a reflex, as we'll see. So here's something to learn about Paul. Paul prays, and he's continually praying. Now, verse 15, you see a phrase right at the beginning, "For this reason, I also." For this reason, I also. For this reason refers back to everything from verse 3 to verse 14. Now, we're getting back into Ephesians after our break for the incarnation season. But remember, verse 3 through verse 14 in Greek is one long sentence. And in that one long sentence, Paul is talking about the resources that believers have in Jesus, the riches of your inheritance in Christ. So you remember in chapter 1, verse 3, you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You remember chapter 1, verse 4, you are chosen. You remember chapter 1, verse 5, you are predestined. You are adopted. You remember chapter 1, verse 6, you are to the praise of the glory of His grace, which has been bestowed on us. You remember chapter 1, verse 7, you have redemption in Christ Jesus. You have the forgiveness of your sins. You have the riches of His grace, which in verse 8 were lavished on you. In verse 9, the mystery, which is the dispensation of the church age, has been made known to you, so that you are, in verse 10, part of that which contains all of the fullness of Christ, summing up all things in Christ. Verse 11, you have an inheritance, you've been predestined, you have a purpose according to Him who works all things after the counsel of His will. You are to the praise of His glory, verse 12. Verse 13, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. And verse 14, you have the Holy Spirit as the pledge of your inheritance. All of that is yours in Jesus. And Paul says, for that reason, Because all of that is true about the Ephesian believers, Paul says, I pray for you. Because that's true of you. So, the reason for Paul's prayer is that he's echoing all of the riches of your inheritance in Christ in verses 3 through 14. But in verse 15, Paul also says, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints. So, what else is Paul's reason for praying? Paul says, I've heard. Now, some of the Ephesians, Paul knew of their faith already because he had spent 3 years there teaching and training them. But others, it's been about 7 years now since Paul was at Ephesus. So others have been saved. And Paul says what? I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. What's a reason for Paul to pray for the Ephesian church? He knows that these are saved people. He knows that these are people who have trusted in Jesus' death payment for their sin, in Jesus' resurrection from the grave. They have trusted in Jesus for their eternal salvation. Paul says, that's also why I'm praying for you. And if there's anyone among us this morning who has never trusted in Jesus alone for their salvation, if you never have, then you're not part of the body of Christ. You don't have that salvation, and you don't have this prayer of Paul for you either. You're not part of it, but you could be if you would trust Jesus as your Savior today. You would be part of this and receive all that everyone else has. But Paul's praying because they are saved people. And Paul's praying because he's heard not only of their faith in the Lord Jesus, but he's heard the end of verse 15 of your love for all the saints. He's heard of your love. Your love for each other. Why do we pray for one another? Because there is love. Now, Paul has in mind the Ephesian church, a local church. And it's hard when, you know, so Paul says, I've heard of your love for all the saints. And you know, I hear people talk in that kind of way, and it becomes a meaningless way. And that's not how Paul intended this. Say, oh yes, I love all my fellow believers in the whole world. I just can't stand that guy that sat next to me in Sunday school. Okay? Well, then you don't love all the believers in the whole world. This has to take very specific, very tangible effect. So, oh yeah, I just love everybody. I just love everybody. Of course, nobody thinks you get along with them. Something wrong with that. So when Paul says he's heard of the Ephesians' love for all the saints, he's talking specifically about their love for each other in their church, in their local church, that spills out to others and goes beyond. It has very little value for you to say, I love everybody, but you don't love somebody in particular. Because then everybody just means nobody. So Paul has in mind very specific love. He recognizes their faith, their salvation, and their love. And he realizes that the Ephesian church has been growing. In the last 7 years since Paul has been there, more and more people have been getting saved in that church. Their faith has been contagious. It's been spreading. And the foundation of that has been their love for one another. And so Paul is now praying for them, praying that they will continue to grow and develop as a church. So those are Paul's reasons for praying, and we should learn something from that as we focus at the beginning of a new year. I know today's still the end of the old year, but in a couple days you'll be focusing on the beginning of a new year. May it be a year of prayer for your church, for one another, for each other. That means you. One another doesn't mean somebody else that's not here. Okay? One another means you. Praying for one another. Now, for Paul, as Paul thinks of churches, and he thinks of the people in churches, for Paul, prayer is a reflex. Okay? You all know what a reflex is, right? Okay, you kind of do the reflex on your knee, and what happens? You hit it, and your knee pops out like that. Okay, it's an automatic reaction to something that comes. And Paul's prayer is a reflex action in him. We see it in verse 16. I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. Paul says, I pray for you and I give thanks for you. Here's kind of how the reflex works in Paul. Paul remembers, in this case, the Ephesians. He remembers the Ephesians. When he remembers the Ephesians, he does what? He gives thanks for them. He remembers them and he's thankful for them. And he's thankful for them while he's doing what? Making mention of them in his prayers. So memory leads to thankfulness, which leads to prayer. That's the reflex here. Now we can see this in some other prayers of Paul. We've studied them this year. But let's review them just a little bit. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Do you see the reflex? Paul remembered the Philippians. When Paul remembered them, what did he do? He thanked God. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Verse 4, always offering what? Prayer. With joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul remembered the Philippians. The Philippians were Paul's partners, fellow participants in communicating the gospel to people. Paul says, I remember that. That makes me thankful for you, and that makes me pray for you all the more. Romans chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. Romans 1, 8 through 10, Paul says, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers making request, if perhaps now at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. Paul, who had not yet been to Rome, heard of the Romans' faith in Christ. When Paul heard of the Romans' faith, what did that make Paul do? Give thanks. Be thankful. Which then made Paul do what? Pray for them more. It's the same reflex that we see. The book of Colossians chapter 1. Beginning at verse 3. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. So, Philippians, Romans, Colossians, here in Ephesians, the prayer reflex is the same. Paul hears of them or remembers them. He gives thanks for them. He prays for them. He prays for them because the gospel is being preached, it's being honored, and people are being saved, and the church is growing. And then he remembers them some more and gives thanks for them and prays for them, and the process continues. And so, let's begin to ask, do you even think of each other at all from Sunday to Sunday? Do you remember each other? When you remember each other, is that a reflex that makes you thankful? Do you thank God for each other? And when you give thanks for each other, does that reflex make you pray? And does it make you pray that the gospel will continue to go forth from each of you to people who know Jesus? You do know there are tens of thousands of people around you every day who live where you live who need to know Jesus. Do you know that? Say, well, how many people in the counties represented here in our church know Christ? How many people do? All I can say is I look out here this morning and I can say, well, I think there are about 60. Say, well, aren't there more believers in that in these three counties? My answer is, I don't know. Do you know? There are people who need to know Jesus all around you. Are you praying for each other? Do you pray for each other as you go to work, as you go to school, as you're talking with friends and neighbors, as you go through the activities of your life from day to day? Are you praying for each other that you will reach people for Jesus? That's the reflex of Paul's prayer. It ought to just be a reflex reaction for us whenever we think of each other. Now, that's the big part of what we want to cover today. The request of Paul's prayer in verses 17 through 19. Let's just begin to look at it, but we'll come back to that the next time. The request, verse 17, is for God to give a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Paul says, I'm praying for the Ephesians that they will all have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now, we'll dig into that more next time, but just look in verse 17 at what it concerns. Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Paul is praying that the Ephesians will know Jesus better and better all the time, constantly, every day. Do you know and enjoy the person of Jesus better today than you did yesterday? That's what Paul's praying for the Ephesians and for us. When Paul prays that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, and we'll come back to that next time, because eyes of your heart is a hard phrase to understand. The eyes of your heart, though, is equated in the verse to the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That the eyes of your heart being enlightened is the same thing as having a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you will know Jesus better and better in three specific things in verse 18 and 19. The hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance, and the greatness of his power. We'll come back to those next time as well. But just keep this in mind this morning. The hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance, the greatness of his power, all of those are the resources that are yours in verses 3 through 14. So when Paul prays that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened, he's praying that you will really know and understand who you are and everything you have in Jesus Christ. All of the riches that are yours, all of the resources that are yours in Jesus, do you know them? Say, well, I know they're there in Ephesians. Yeah. But do you know them? And do you have those as a revelation to yourself that you get it, that you understand that, and that that is how you see yourself every moment of every day. Paul's praying, I pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened so that you can know and enjoy all of the riches and all of the resources that you have in Jesus every day. Every moment of every day. It's not just something you say, well, I learned that once. This is your view of you. Your view of you is you in Jesus. It's not nearly as much talk about it now as there was 20 years ago, but all of the discussion about self-image and self-actualization and all of that. You say, well, what does the Bible teach us about how to have a good self-image? And the answer is nothing. It doesn't teach you anything about how to have a good self-image. What it teaches you is to have a Christ image. It teaches you who you are in Jesus, not who you are in yourself. Because who you are in yourself is a lost, sinful, deceived sinner who has no hope. There's your self-image. You need a Christ image. It's in Jesus. Paul prays, the eyes of your heart will be enlightened so that you can see all of this. That's his prayer request. Because Paul knows when you see yourself in Jesus, that is seeing yourself in the gospel. And when you see yourself in the gospel, you will have a message to share. If you don't see yourself in the gospel, you just fumble around and go, well, but I wouldn't know what to say. The reason you don't know what to say is not that you need a class. It's that you need to understand the gospel. You need to see yourself in the gospel. If you're not sharing your faith, you don't get the gospel. You don't get it. Because it is the good news. So that's Paul's request. And the range of Paul's prayer we'll get to in a couple weeks, verses 20 through 23. You say, well, but all the stuff, you know, there's spiritual warfare, and there's Satan, and there's demons, and all of this. Yep. And you know what? Paul's prayer includes all of that stuff, and Ephesians includes all of that stuff. So Paul's prayer goes, verses 20 and 21, to the heavenly places, far above all rulers and authorities and principalities and powers, whether they are angelic or demonic. far above. Paul's prayer goes to the heavenly places. Paul's prayer is relevant in this age and in the age to come, verse 21. Paul's prayer acknowledges Christ over all things to the church. Jesus Christ is over the church, is over all things. The church is not ruled by boards, committees, elders, pastors. The church is ruled by Jesus Christ. He's the head over all things. So, who's the head of the church? You know what? If it's not Jesus, I don't want to be here. He's the head over all things to the church. The church, verse 23, is the fullness of Christ. The church, end of verse 22, which is His body, verse 23, the fullness of Him who fills all things. Where is the fullness of Jesus Christ? It is in His body, which is the church. All that Jesus is cannot be found anywhere else. Cannot be found anywhere else than a local church. Say, well, I have Jesus, but I'm not part of the church and whatever. But you know what? All of the fullness of Jesus is in His body. He's in the church. So be careful how you talk about these things. Continually praying for the church. So in our 2020 Connect vision, we've begun to talk about that. Connecting for 2020. Remember each other often. Remember each other daily, if you can, but certainly often. Give thanks to God for each other. Pray for one another. Pray for each other that you will know and love Jesus more tomorrow than you do today. Pray for one another that you will love each other. Thank God for your faith and your love. May your faith and your love be known. May your faith and your love be known beyond the walls of these facilities. Say, well, how will our faith and our love be known? Because you are talking about it. You're talking about it all over the place. You know what? It ought to be your favorite thing to talk about. You know, by the way, what your favorite thing to talk about is, don't you? It's what you default to when you don't know what else to say. That's what you talk about. And sometimes you repeat that same thing over and over and over, some people for decades. It's their favorite thing to say. I'm going to tell that story again, one more time. Paul would say, you know what? My favorite thing to say is the gospel. And my favorite thing to say is the gospel as it has been believed and received in these churches. So Paul would say, I love to talk about the Ephesian church. I love to talk about the Roman church and the Philippian church and the Colossian church. I love to talk about them. Why? They get the gospel. And they know it. And they share it. Make the gospel in you, in each other, one of your favorite things to talk about with. Say, well, who do I talk about it with? Anybody. Anybody. Make it one of your favorite things to talk about. Paul says that is his prayer reflex. Just have a reflex like that to think of each other, to pray for each other, to love each other, and see what God does in connecting people. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Apostle Paul, who is our model, our example in so many different ways. And Lord, today may we begin to see him as an example of prayer. And Lord, may we develop a Holy Spirit prayer reflex like Paul. Lord, may there be many who see, who hear, and who come to faith in Jesus because of this. To your honor, to your praise, to your glory, forever and ever, in Jesus' name, amen.